Welcome to Healthy Versus Toxic, the podcast where licensed mental health professionals explore what makes a relationship healthy or unhealthy or even abusive, all from a scientifically informed perspective.
Well, this is Dr. Grande. Today's question asks if I can analyze a presentation example that involves trauma bonding. The concept of trauma bonding is interesting. It's often thought of as linked to one severe traumatic event or a few severe events, but can also be caused by long-term exposure to a lower level of harm. And that's really what I'm going to be looking at here with this particular presentation example. So as I've talked about before in other videos, presentation examples are often used in educational and clinical settings to advance clinical training. So to help counselors and other psychotherapists be better at their jobs. These are also referred to as case studies and case analyses. The information in these reports is changed to protect the identity of the participants. For example, the names are changed, but in theory, at least, the clinical essence remains intact. This presentation example features a woman I'll refer to as Becky. When Becky was a child, around 7 or 8 years old, her father left her mother and her mother raised Becky alone. When Becky was around 19 or 20, she attempted to reconnect with her father, who by this point was remarried and had children with his current wife. Her father told her that he would love to have a relationship with her, but because he wasn't there when she was young, he didn't really feel like she was his daughter, right? So there was no bond established, at least in his mind. And this was devastating to Becky. Not long after this rejection, she meets a young man I'll refer to as Rich. Rich was around the same age as Becky. Rich struggled with substance use and impulsive decision-making, two things that often occur together. They had some fast progress in their romantic relationship, and they were married within 3 months. Over the next 10 years, they would have 3 daughters. Shortly after the first daughter was born, Rich started going out with other women, and his substance use increased dramatically. He was also having difficulty keeping a job. Becky knew about the substance use and the employment difficulties, but she didn't find out about his other romantic endeavors until after the 3rd daughter was born. Becky had family who lived in the area, and they were willing to look after her daughters so that she could work a full-time job and work a part-time job to make up for the lost income from Rich. Becky seemed to miss obvious signs that Rich was having affairs, including him being out all night, women calling the house and asking for him, Becky's friends telling her that he must be having an affair, Rich having all kinds of new demands in terms of sexual behavior. The first time Becky really seemed to understand what Rich was doing was when Rich told her what he was doing and demanded that she become a better wife so that he would not have to keep seeking intimacy from other people. Becky initially asked him to stop having these other relationships, but he refused and threatened to leave. He demanded that Becky stop asking him to cease engagement with those relationships. Eventually, Becky agreed to let him have 1 other romantic relationship on the side, but no more than 1. But Rich would not agree to that, so he moved out. And he moved back a few months later after Becky begged him to come back home. At this time, she removed any limits on his romantic behavior, so he was allowed to have as many girlfriends as he wanted. Her rationale was that she didn't want her daughters growing up without a father because that was so devastating to her. Interestingly, she had a variety of opportunities to find another partner. Most of the people in her life were encouraging her to divorce Rich and go find somebody else. Several men were interested in her romantically, but she stayed faithful to the marriage. Now, soon after Rich moved back in, he decided that he wanted to start his own business. And he asked Becky to work overtime in her full-time job, in addition to the part-time job, so that he could use that money to start this business. So using the money that Becky earned and money from some of his other romantic interests, he started a small business. Within 6 months, they were bankrupt. He had maxed out all their credit cards and both their vehicles were repossessed. They were forced to move in with Becky's relatives, the same people who watched her daughters. Now, Becky's relatives would not permit Rich to have his girlfriends over to their home, which prompted him to become increasingly irritated with Becky, yelling at her, blaming her for destroying his life, questioning why she didn't have more power over her family members, wondering why she was unable to convince them to let his girlfriends spend time at that house. Around this time, the husband of one of Rich's girlfriends confronted Rich, and they were involved in an altercation. Both were arrested as a result of this, and Rich was released on bail, but right after this, he was arrested again for driving under the influence. He was in a car that he was borrowing from one of his friends. The police searched this car, and they found a substantial quantity of substances. Rich asked Becky if she would go to the police and tell the police that the substances were hers. Otherwise, he was afraid that he was going to go to prison. So Becky went to the police and told them that she owned the substances that were found in Rich's friend's car, and the police told her to leave. They told her they didn't believe her, and they also recommended that she divorce Rich.
Welcome to the Bravery Academy. My name is Emma Ferris, and I'm your host. This podcast is crafted to share the stories of courageous individuals who have overcome adversity and found the courage to live their best lives. We'll explore the science of well-being, courage and connection, and interview top thought leaders, game changers and survivors. It is from these stories that we learn what resilience is, how to heal, how to recover, and how to be brave.
Hi, I'm Matt Harris. Seton Tucker and I host the podcast Impact of Influence, which for 2 years covered in depth Alec Murdoch, who was eventually convicted in 2023 of murdering his wife Maggie and son Paul. That story continues to evolve, and we will cover that. Plus, we will tell you stories of other true crime events that have happened in the South. Please join us on Impact of Influence and give us a follow on the Impact of Influence Facebook page.
Additionally, they charged Rich because he instructed Becky to come in and lie to the police. It's not clear what the charges were, but probably something like hindering prosecution or obstruction of justice. Either way, this became significant at sentencing. Rich would spend over a year and a half on and off in jail over the next 5 years. His original sentence was only for a few months, but he kept violating probation when he was released. This general pattern of Rich's behavior kind of continued for many years, getting in trouble with the law, having a number of girlfriends, maxing out credit cards, impulsive behavior, obtaining and losing employment, moving in with a friend or a girlfriend, and then moving back in with Becky, and blaming Becky for everything that went wrong in his life. During the course of their marriage, he was never physically violent and never threatened anything physical, but he was highly manipulative and he yelled quite a bit. Eventually, Rich moved in with one of his girlfriends and did not return. It was at this point that Becky sought treatment from mental health professionals. She had been with Rich for over 30 years. All three of her daughters were in long-term relationships and had moved out. The daughters understood why Becky stayed with their father. In a sense, it sounds like they admired her for trying to help them, but ultimately they thought that she was foolish in her decision-making, specifically, of course, that decision to stay with Rich. They offered several times for Becky to move in with one of them, but Becky declined because she was worried that Rich and her would not be together if she did that. When she came in for treatment, she indicated that she wanted to learn how to change so that Rich would come back. She wanted to learn how to be a better wife, learn how to better meet his needs, learn how to tolerate his affairs and other destructive behavior. But the clinician struggled to come up with a treatment plan based on these goals, as they appeared to be unhealthy. But still, the counselor attempted treatment. Not much progress was made. The clinician diagnosed Becky with adjustment disorder, but she suspected borderline personality disorder, but only two of the criteria of the nine of that disorder were met: frantic efforts to avoid abandonment and a chronic feeling of emptiness. So in the end, we just see the adjustment disorder and no other diagnosis. Becky terminated treatment. She left treatment because she said she needed the money that she was using for the counseling services, specifically the copay, which was somewhere between $15 and $25, to give to Rich, because if she provided him that money, he may come back. A few months later, the clinician found a way for Becky to receive free mental health services, free mental health treatment, and Becky declined. So what can we learn from this case, the case of Becky? Well, we see how trauma can be experienced over a long period of time without a physical component. On the part of Rich, we see a lot of narcissistic manipulation, and this exposure over a long period of time can become very destructive. So maybe it wasn't destructive within the first few months, but over the course of years, it caused a lot of damage. We see in this case how early attachment or lack of attachment can affect how somebody behaves as they grow older. Becky was abandoned by her father when she was young and later rejected by her father when she was a young adult. And this became the basis for staying with Rich for all those years. She wanted to protect her daughters from having the same experience that she had. So that was so painful, she was willing to experience more pain to protect her daughters from that experience. We see how even when the original reason for unhealthy behavior is satisfied, the behavior can continue. Becky's daughters moved out. There was no need to try to keep the relationship together with Rich for the sake of the daughters, but Becky justified her efforts to repair that relationship with Rich by saying their daughters would still be negatively affected if their parents weren't together. We also see in this case how behavior can look one way to pretty much everybody, but look another way to the person who's in the middle of it. The lack of insight here on the part of Becky was profound and ongoing. Again, she had over 30 years to develop some insight into this relationship. The last lesson we can see from this presentation example is how people in a long-term relationship can be together for many years and neither one changes. So we see that both Rich and Becky stay the same. Their behaviors are consistent throughout the entire marriage. Both had many opportunities to, again, kind of gain insight and start to change. We see that Rich was arrested more than once. He was in trouble in many different ways financially. He had difficulty with employment. He had a lot of wake-up calls, but he never woke up. Similarly, it would seem that Becky had a number of opportunities to look at the situation and say, this isn't healthy, this isn't good for me. Yet because of that trauma bonding, again, the type of bonding that took place over a long period of time, she was unable to see what was going on, or at least unable to act on it. After she terminated treatment, she was offered free treatment, again, like I described before, and she still would not come back in and work on these different issues. Becky's family tried to intervene. The mental health counselor tried to intervene. Many people tried to help her. Many people told her about the situation that she was in and pointed out some of the dangers and shortcomings of that situation, but Becky did not make any type of substantial change. So this was a challenging case that had a lot of learning value to it, even though, of course, I think many would look at this case as kind of saddening, right? Becky was not able to break free of that relationship and move on with her life in a productive way. Now, only she knows truly what's going on inside of that relationship. Again, everyone else making a judgment here is just looking at it from the outside. However, it seems pretty clear that that relationship was unhealthy. When it comes to relationships, sometimes people are so stuck that no amount of force will break them free.
Thanks for listening. This has been a production of Ars Longa Media. The executive producer is Dr. Patrick Beeman. For more content, please visit our website at arslonga.media. To leave feedback or suggestions, send an email to info@arslonga.media. To find more content from Dr. Grande, including a link to his YouTube channel and his other Ars Longa podcasts, visit our website at arslonga.media. This podcast is intended for informational purposes only and should not be construed as medical or mental health advice. Ars Longa, Vita Brevis.
Hi there, I'm Heather Drago.
And I'm Sarah Saunders.
We host the podcast, That's a Hard No, about saying no and setting boundaries.
So you can become that true and empowered you that this world needs. Saying no isn't just okay.
It's the key to living an authentic, fulfilling life.
I'm a licensed professional clinical counselor, so while this podcast is in no way a replacement for one-on-one therapy, I suppose I know what I'm talking about.
I'd say so. We talk about learning to say no and set healthy boundaries and how it impacts mental health, physical health, relationships, parenthood, and more.
Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts and visit our website, hardnopodcast.com.
We're here to help you find your no and say it unapologetically.
That's a hard no.